Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
I need you to listen to me. Mommy is stressed.
Okay.
And clean up the room.
I'm going to go live with my dad, okay?
Ooh, that's Nia Long taking on her son in Tyler Perry's movie, The Single Moms Club. Does she sound a little stressed to you? Yeah, well, we all know there's something very special about a mother's relationship with her children. The nurturing, the scheduling, the traveling, and all kinds of doting and loving. But sometimes moms are doing so much, they burn out, and they don't take care of themselves. Well, tonight, we're talking about mommy burnout and what mothers can do to avoid it. My guests are Talia Price, a married mother of two boys, and executive producer of Matter of Fact with Soledad O'Brien, Tiffany Page, a single mother of a teenage son, author, motivational speaker, and momager. We're going to find out what that is. And Erica St. Bernard, licensed clinical marriage and family therapist, who is also a mother. Lines are open if you have a question or a comment about mommy burnout. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, and certainly you can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Hey, everybody. How you doing?
Hello.
Thanks for coming in. Hello. I appreciate it. Erica, let me start with you. What is mommy burnout?
Mommy burnout is when we reach the point of feeling like we're at the breaking point, feeling like if one more thing is added to the plate, if one more appointment needs to be made, if one more stop has to be added to the list of things we need to do. So it's the space of feeling overwhelmed, beyond overwhelm's sake, though, right? So not just the basic overwhelm, but the overload where there just doesn't seem like there's going to be a break, doesn't seem like there's going to be a pause in the schedule, doesn't seem like there's going to be a moment in time for us to clear our heads and get a sense of sanity, if you will, to have a moment of peace, to kind of breathe and decompress because the next thing is coming. So we get the kids to bed and then we got to finish the work we didn't do while we were doing homework with them. And then we got to finish sending emails and finish doing the laundry and finish cleaning up the kitchen. And so there's always seemingly something to do that keeps us from being able to feel like we're at a place where we're centered and focused.
How do you know? You have an amen corner in here, by the way. I think you need to know that. But, you know, how do you know that it's mommy burnout and not work burnout or church burnout or something else?
That's a great question. Yeah, that's a great question. And so I challenge my clients to kind of make a list of all, and I say all, like all caps, all bolded, all the things that we're doing. Because certainly there are mommy things, and so that requires a list. But then there are home things that require a list, and then there are work things that require a list. And then maybe if we are connected, as you said, to our churches or ministries or civic organizations or sororities, each of those topics or headings of our lives have a list of tasks or chores or duties or responsibilities. And sometimes we don't realize that we are little people because they are little, because they may be, you know, they're little. And so we're thinking about the future that we have planned for them and all those things. And these other things can seem really pressing. And so when we list it all out and we see it in black and white or whatever color pen we decide to use, we get a very real and sometimes a very visceral reaction to the fact that sometimes the mommy, what feels like the mommy burden or the mommy challenges are not only the mommy stuff, but it's some of the other things. And so I challenge clients to really write out a list of all the things they're doing and all the places they're showing up in the world to see just how far they are stretching themselves, just how far the rubber bands are being stretched, such that we can maybe determine that I'm doing too much in some of these other spaces or pockets of my life, and then I may need to create some margin or create some healthy boundaries, such that I'm not overworking myself or overextending myself in some of these other places so that I can have a bit more bandwidth when it concerns my children and how we take care of them.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about mommy burnout. What is it? How do you know that you are a burned out mom, and what can you do about it? So, Talia, you have two boys.
Yes.
Ages?
7 and 4.
Woo, 7 and 4. Lots of energy there. But you're married.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. And, you know, so you do have some help.
I have a lot of help, and
okay.
I'm still burned out. So
why
what is that saying? I don't know. Maybe I'm doing something wrong in life. I don't know. My mother lives with us. We've been very blessed to have my mother live with us for the last 7 years. My husband, for lack of a better word, is the primary parent when it comes to extracurricular activities, homework. He's on top of everything school-wise because he does have a more flexible schedule. And I am giving them pieces of me, and I still feel burned out because I'm just giving them pieces of me. And some days it's not the best piece of me.
What do you mean by that?
It is the after the burnout has set in, they usually, how do I say this without sounding abusive? They usually,
this is a safe non-judgmental space.
Right.
Okay. We're not going to call Child Family Services here.
They get the brunt of it because after you have just, for me, you know, burnout is just this endlessness of failure. Like you cannot, the next day is not going to get better than the last because the list never stops. And I don't want to look at motherhood like that, but it ends up feeling that way to me, or I perceive it to be that way because I clearly can't be failing at everything, right? But I still feel like I'm failing at everything. So they catch it. Like, I come in the house like Oprah when she gave away the cars. You get a whooping. You get a whooping. Everybody gets a whooping. And my husband is like, chill. Like, you just walked in the door.
You can't whoop your husband.
Right. Like, what? Like, why are you mad at the kids? Well, I said, get upstairs right now. And they didn't move. So, you know, it's in hindsight, it's the very smallest thing. And I'm really overreacting. But it's really the buildup from either mom burnout or, like Erica said, work burnout. Now that she said that, if I make a list, I will see where I'm being pulled.
Wow. We are talking about mommy burnout. I'm already starting to get some text about this issue.
No CPS, please.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Exactly.
But, you know, now, Tiffany, your situation is different. You are a single mother of a teenage son. And are you burned out?
Every day.
Every day?
Every day. Yes, because see, for me, with my son, a year ago, he just came and said he wanted to sing. And so I feel as though, you know, being his mother and being a single mother, I kind of overcompensate. And so if it's something that he says he wants, I'm going to go full throttle. And so when I found out that he could sing and I found out that he could really sing, you know, I put all the stops behind him. And so now it's pretty much he's taken over my whole life. It's like everything that I do is basically for him. So we're in and out of town, flights every other week. And, you know, the sleep, it comes when it comes.
You said you are a momager. What is that the correct pronunciation? What is a momager?
A momager. So it's crazy. I wear 1,000 hats when it comes to him now with, you know, his new career starting. But pretty much managing the day-to-day life and then also trying to be his mother. So it's very conflicting because, you know, whereas before it would be a situation where it's like, okay, I'm mom, so whatever I say goes. Now it's a situation because he's an artist and, you know, I have to make sure that I'm there overseeing everything that's going on with his career. We have this combative spirit between us now because it's like when I'm telling you to do something, it's not me in the role of your mother. It's me as the role of your manager. So it's like it's a conflict. And so it's kind of crazy. And so that adds more fuel to the fire.
Just make sure he owns his own masters. Let's.
Oh, no, that was done.
Yeah, there we go. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about mommy burnout. What is it? How do you know? How do you address it? So you've gotten an idea about what these two mothers are dealing with, Erica. What are you hearing from them?
Hearing the sense of, you know, wanting to do their best, which is how moms get burnt out. Every single mom who has raised a child, birthed a child, adopted a child, however we've gotten these children into our lives, each of us want to do what's best for them. We want to be amazing. We want to do a stellar job. We want them to be proud of us, and we want to be proud of them. And so we sow so much into them. And then sometimes we realize that sometimes our best doesn't seem like it's good enough because of all the other hats we're wearing. And so I think just as important as it is to write down all the things that we are doing, it's also great to give ourselves a pep talk and an opportunity to really think about what are the things as a mom that I'm doing pretty well. Right, the fact that the children are still alive at 4 and 7, and I have a teenager. Right, I think like we laugh about it, but like no, they're still alive. Like they're healthy.
That's the bar.
Alive for 4 and 7 years We kept him alive to be 13, and now we are still learning what it is to be a mom. And I think that's the other thing. We think we have these babies or however they come into our lives, and we're supposed to just know how to be a mom. And I think we have to see mothering as this kind of seasonal thing that we kind of grow into and mature into in the same way that our children grow and mature. We as parents, as moms, grow and mature. And so we have to acknowledge that there's an opportunity and a space for us to create the understanding that that is a part of the process, that we are still developing as much as our children are developing. And so to give ourselves some grace, and I think that's one of the things that gets lost when we are talking about mommy burnout.
I do want to talk about that a little later in the program, about what that grace looks like, what it means. But let me go to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Janelle, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, I just wanted to call to tell them. I just wanted to tell them that the mommy burnout is real. I'm a mom of a 20-year-old. She just graduated from college. She got her bachelor's in 2 years. I'm a mom of a 10-year-old, and I just had a baby. He's he just turned 10 months. So the mommy burnout is real. I just want to let them know that just push through. You know, sometimes you have to take your quiet space. And, you know, have some time to yourself, depend on, or try to rely on someone to help you out. But you can get through it. I got through it. I'm a young teen mom. I'm in my 30s now, and I basically started over twice. But you all can get through it. You know, everyone is like, oh, you're a strong black woman. Yes, you are. But sometimes you do need your time to calm down, have a peace of mind to yourself. So when you take that time out, you really can go ahead and continue to be a super mom.
Question for you, Janelle. Okay, you said you have a 20-year-old, a 10-year-old, and a 9-month-old?
Yes.
So that's like a 10-year gestation? Or was that? It's just like every 10 years you decide to have a child. Is that right?
Yeah, she's the real MVP. 09
and 19, yeah.
So do you have help? Are you married? Do you have a partner? What?
No, I don't have a partner. I do have help. My family is very helpful. But when I was younger, it was like, oh, I had my baby at 15. My parents were like, oh, you're going to be responsible. You're going to take care of this baby. My baby was with me all the time. Mm. You know, I went to college. I went to UDC. I went for free. They paid me to go to college. And I just, you know, want to encourage teen moms, young moms, older moms. You know, you can do it. You can get through it. Yeah, it can get hard at times.
Yeah.
You know, but like I said, you just have to kind of take some time to yourself, even if it's 30 minutes a day. And sometimes that 30 minutes might be at 12:30 at night.
Yeah, there you go. Look, Janelle, congratulations on the new baby, and congratulations on the oldest one getting her degree, and hang in there with the 10-year-old. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Adom, is that correct? Adom, yes, thank you. What's on your mind?
Well, looking at mom, for example, and this is a society wherein the male counterparts are paid more in the working environment and mom are paid less. Mom has to work twice as hard just to provide basics. Imagine if mom is running two jobs. What is her life like? Assuming she has a child, of a teenage child. How is she going to balance work life and our responsibility as a mom at home? Taking care of a child is like a full-time job. It's so difficult. What is society doing? Now, looking at the African-American society, most of the dad has been incarcerated for one reason or the other. They are the minority group. Now, the boy at home has no father figure to learn how to balance emotion and hardship. So mom has to play a double role of a double parent, even though psychologically.
Well, Adom, let me say that, and let me be clear, you know, this conversation is about mothering and not so much about whether or not there is a father in, you know, in the household, because while we have, you know, our guests here in studio, we have, a married mother. She's burned out. We have a single mother. She's burned out. So I think that I don't think that it is accurate that we should indict any woman who does not have a man in the household and to judge her based on her mothering skills. But certainly, thank you. I'm going to let you go ahead and handle that one, Tiffany.
Yeah, I mean, I don't agree with the caller's just what he said. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, my dad, my son's father, he is not in the picture. But I mean, at the end of the day, I have support. My son is well balanced. He's a great kid. And, you know, I'm not that person who believes, you know, what society says about a woman can't teach a boy to be a man. Because I think with everything that my son has accomplished at 16, he's defeating the odds when it comes down to that. You know, he middle school, he was a valedictorian of his middle school class. Just great all around kid when it comes down to it. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't agree.
Yeah, and I hear he can sing.
He can definitely sing.
Yes, indeed. You know, before I do go to a break, I do want you to talk a little bit about that grace thing, Erica. I've got about 30 seconds or so. What does that mean, giving yourself grace?
Sure. Giving yourself grace means acknowledging where you are as a mom, acknowledging that you are most times doing the absolute best you possibly can. And so acknowledging and affirming that for yourself. And then taking into account the fact that some of the things that relate to mothering are beyond our control. And so acknowledging where we can make some tweaks and adjustments in how we show up as a mom and doing the work we need to do with regard to that. But then also acknowledging that sometimes we are at our limits, and that's because we're human beings. And so when we realize that we're human beings, not human doing, we can extend grace to ourselves, realizing that we really are doing all we can do. And just being present with our children is the greatest gift we can offer to them.
I need to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to talk to Sandra, calling from Bowie. We're going to talk to Louise, calling from Maryland. And the lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We will be taking your calls even after 7:30 on SiriusXM. And of course, you can hear this in every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment in its entirety via podcast on WHUR.com. Just go to the website, click on community to find the program you want to hear. Stay with us. If you're on the phone, hang on. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Angela Stribling is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This discussion continues on SiriusXM Channel 141 in 15 seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we are talking about mommy burnout and what mothers can do to avoid it. My guests are Talia Price, a married mother of two boys and executive producer of Matter of Fact with Soledad O'Brien. Tiffany Page is a single mother of a teenage son. She's an author, motivational speaker, and momager. And we also have Erica St. Bernard, licensed clinical marriage and family therapist. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Louise, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Louise. What's on your mind? Louise, are you there?
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, yes, go right ahead. Sure.
Yes, I'm right here. So I was just saying, I have a 12-year-old son, and I just realized that I really was burned out when he was young, but I'm really burned out now because he's getting mature. And I'm getting new features, and I'm coming out from work. I work with people with disabilities, so I deal with them all day, autism, schizophrenia. So when I come home, I'm expecting things to go the right way. I'm expecting chores to be done. I'm expecting homework to be done. So when I don't get it, I realize that my voice, I raise my voice, I get angry, but I realize that I'm just burned out from work. And now coming home, I can't get what I told you to do. So it just gets on me, and the burnout is just real because I have a 5-year-old daughter that tells me that she doesn't have the same advantage like the 11-year-old or the 12-year-old. So I get confused, and I'm like, okay, your dad is at his second job. What do I do? I'm right here by myself. I work 8 hours. I'm right here now.
Okay.
I'm by myself. He tells me, oh, I'll be back by 9 o'clock because he's at his second job. So moms really get burned out because at the starting point, I just took him to his Valentine's Day prom because the dad was like, I can't come. So I had 3 meetings today, and I still had to deal with that. So we really get burned out.
Well, Louise, let me see if we can get a little bit of help for you because you do seem as if you are juggling quite a bit. So here's the thing, Talia. When did you discover that you were burned out? Because Louise says that she realizes now that she was burned out a long time ago. What was the sign for you that, I mean, were you burned out? Were you crispy around the edges or were you just completely burned out?
So last month I was on the road working and I ended up in the hospital. I had to get my gallbladder removed in another state. And it just was, all the signs were there, but I just couldn't make the time to really take care of me. And let me get through the boys' birthday party. Let me get through Thanksgiving. Let me get through Christmas. Let me, you know, get through
the next year.
Yeah, right? Yeah. You know, I'm like, okay, then I'll go see the doctor. And so that was kind of my wake-up call that something's really not right here.
Mm-hmm.
And also balancing that with the guilt of why is something not right here? Because you have help.
I see.
And so when I heard Janelle on the phone, you know, I'm like, I feel guilty for now even feeling burned out when you hear people say, oh, I have 3 kids. I did it by myself. And do I have the right to be tired? I don't.
So do. what's going on there, Erica? What advice do you have for Louise? And also, I'd like to hear what you have to say about what Talia just shared with us.
Sure. I think that Talia mentioned the word guilt. And I think that's another concept that moms contend with is this notion of guilt. That if I take time for myself, if I'm not with my children after work, after travel, after all the list of things I've had to accomplish, that if I'm not with my child, that means I'm not a good mom or I don't love my children and all the kind of other lies we either tell ourselves or have been told to us in the social circles that we're a part of. And so I think it's important to acknowledge that even amazing moms, even strong moms need a moment, need, you know, time away. And that may not look like a full vacation, but it may just like, may look like an hour when you get home. I have clients who say to me that they drive home and their commute may be 15 or 20 minutes. And so they sit in the garage or they sit in the driveway or around the corner from their house so the children and husband don't know they're home yet. And they decompress in the car. And sometimes that's what we have to do as moms, to make and take the space and time we need such that we are able to show up for our families, but also be able to show up for ourselves in a way that's healthy, in a way that's functional. And so I think, you know, each mom has to determine what really works well for her family. And so I think that's the other thing, and listing out what's going on, to really think about where are there pockets of time that we can carve out just for us. And that may be early in the morning, that may be late at night, that may be in the wee hours of the morning when everybody else is still asleep, but finding ways to make sure we're pouring into ourselves such that we are able to have a little bit, not just a little bit to pour out, but something in reserve such that we're able to show up for our children, show up for our spouses and partners, but then also be able to show up for ourselves too. So I think there's something about the mommy guilt and giving ourselves permission to need the things we need, because our children don't have any apologies for needing all the things they need. And
okay.
That's, they shouldn't. And so as moms, we have to figure out how to factor those things in for ourselves as well.
Louise, thank you so much for your phone call. Tiffany, you were nodding your head just now. Your thoughts?
No, just everything that she said just hit home. And I know, like, for me, for myself, the guilt is real because, like, my son, he's 16, and in 16 years, I've probably only taken a handful of trips, like, by myself. And whenever I am away from him, even now, at the age that he is now, it's just an overwhelming sense of, I'm not supposed to be away from him. I'm not supposed to be having fun without him. You know, I went to Jamaica last year for my birthday, and like the whole time I'm like, my phone bill was like through the roof because I'm calling home like, are you okay? Are you eating? Like, what's going on? What you want me to bring you back? It's like, no. And even he'll see it. He'll say it like, go enjoy yourself. Go take some time for yourself. But it's just, you know, I don't know. It's just that feeling that, okay, I'm supposed to be with you at all times just to make sure that you're okay, that you're breathing, that you're eating, that you're doing whatever it is you're supposed to be doing. So,
what toll do you believe that takes on you, if any?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of.
I have no idea what that is. But please go right ahead.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I mean, it's just, I guess, on the emotional aspect of it, just the guilt. So it's just, I don't know, it's a feeling that I can't necessarily describe, but it's just a guilty feeling. So it's just always wanting to make sure that, like, I always make sure that his needs are above mine. And so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let me go to Sandra. Go right ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Erica.
Something that we've learned, though, we've watched the moms in our lives do every single thing, and it looked like they never dropped the ball. It looked like everything was amazing and in sync. And maybe we didn't have perfect moms, right? Because I don't know anybody had a perfect mom. But I think we have to recreate the story around what it means to mother our children, because mothering looks very different today than it did when you and I were younger, when even our moms were younger. And so really giving ourselves permission to rewrite the story of what it is in this present day and time, given our circumstances, given our life experiences.
Back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Sandra calling from Bowie. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
So I was listening to everyone. I called first because to piggyback off the single parents is there, because the caller called in about, having a father in the house. Well, my son didn't have a father in the house. He's 17 now, and I just wanted to say, of course, I would love that. And my doors was always open for him to be there for his son, but that wasn't the case. So my son is 17 now, and I raised him by myself, with my mom and my other sister's help. And he turned out so far to be great. He makes 4.0s in school. He doesn't complain at home. He's a well-round, balanced child, but for me, just being a single parent and doing all that I know to do, I don't have a lot of time to spend with him. And again, he don't complain. And like, I want to take him places and take him on trips, but he's always in the house. And because we live in Maryland, it's not so much for him to do, or I can't afford it. So he's like literally always in the house after school and during the summer. So that's where my frustration comes in, there, because I want to do more with him. So I feel like because I have to work and do all this extra stuff that I don't always, I'm not really giving him what he wants.
Well, let me see what Erica has to say about that. Erica?
Sure. I think it's important to acknowledge and have conversations with our children, especially when they're of age, to ask them how we can show up in a way that would honor who they are as our children, right? So we could think about not just asking them, what do you want from me as a mom, but having a conversation about how do you see me as a mom? What kind of mom am I? And putting on our big girl panties, as they say, to be able to listen to what they say, because sometimes they'll challenge us. I've asked my 5-year-old that question, and I've been surprised by some of her responses, but they've been enlightening and helpful for me so that I can make the small adjustments and pivots. Because sometimes we're thinking our children want grand experiences and they want to travel the world and see all the sights. And sometimes they just want us to sit with them while they play a video game. Sometimes they just want us to sit with them while they read a book, or have them read a book to us, or have us read a book to them. And so I think sometimes we, in an expectation to kind of, I think it was Tiffany who mentioned the idea of overcompensating. Sometimes when we're feeling the mommy guilt and feeling burnt out, we sometimes overcompensate for the time we yelled too loud or the time we were too annoyed to be able to be present. And we try to gift them a whole bunch of things and take them to these places and do a whole lot with them. And while I'm not suggesting that that's never helpful, I think sometimes we can dial it back and turn down the intensity on time and make up for the lost time by enhancing the quality of the time we're able to spend, sometimes doing some really simple things like trying a new recipe together that doesn't have to cost a lot of money, but can be an opportunity for us to really spend time with our children, having them to prepare the items or set the table if they're younger, to cut the vegetables, to really be in the kitchen with us and to really help us, or to do some other project that we can have a start and finish time that builds an opportunity for us to create community and intimacy within the family.
That's what I struggle with, the overcompensating. Because Dad is like everything to the boys, because he's there putting in the time doing what you said. And then I try to swoop in and like, oh, we're going to Disney World. Mm-hmm. Which also burned me out. And they'll still come back and say, I'm learning now. Like, oh, we really have fun with Dad going to like Pump It Up or to the library. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
there you go. Gosh, and we went to Disney World.
Right. That's not the best experience of their life.
That was all right.
And, but that, so it is great to hear that they want you to just be present and show up.
I have adult clients who sit on my sofa and talk about their childhoods, and they don't talk about they didn't get to go to Disney or they didn't get to go to the movies or to the latest, greatest amusement park. They said, I wish my parents spent more time with me. And so as I'm hearing these grown adults, men and women, say this to me, I'm hopeful that I'm taking these, you know, these nuggets of wisdom and hoping to sow them into the people that are in my life that have children so that we can be intentional in the small ways. And certainly Disney's fun and all the other fun places are great to go to. But in an effort to build community and really establish the framework that of home that we hope to have for our children, it really is to dial it back and to think about pulling out some Play-Doh, going old school, pulling out some board games and playing those card games, playing Uno, teaching our kids how to play Spades, like just having fun at home in the spaces that we paid all this money for, the reasons we're doing all this hard work, the reasons we are grinding and thriving in the world, to really come home and be present with our children in those spaces, in pajamas, having fun, eating popcorn or eating other snacks and just being present. Because sometimes that, as you suggest, when we run to Disney World, we're burnt out even while we're there. We're like, oh my gosh, when is this over? But when we're home, there's something usually about home at some point where we can kind of settle in. And it's really cool to watch our kids laugh in our homes and to really just kind of dial down a little bit in that home space with them.
Sandra, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Rochelle calling from D.C. Rochelle, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi there.
Hi.
I just want to know if I'm here in D.C. and I didn't have my son until I was 33 years old.
Okay.
And he's just an early adult now. Well, he's past early now because he's 26. But he still get on my nerves. And I still feel burned out. You know, in and out, gotta come home.
Hopeful then. This is it never ends.
I gotta come home for a little while, Ma. It's still like a lot. It's like I don't know who this person is.
Take him to Disney World. Let's see how that works. Okay, so briefly, Erica, what about the mother of adult children? I mean, I know we kind of laugh about that, but that is a real thing because some adult children, the young ones, are still in the home, and mothers are still mothering as they did when they were minors.
Yes. And I think that's a challenge for moms sometimes, and even for children, but particularly for moms. We sometimes see our children in these snapshot capsules of who they used to be, and so we're still parenting them in that way, which causes more friction and tension for us, but also causes frustration for them. Because I think about baby-proofing a house. You put all the outlet protectors in, and you have these little gates at the top of the stairs. Your 15-year-old doesn't need a gate at the top of the steps anymore, right? They're massive walking up and down the steps. But sometimes we're still parenting them like they still need this baby gate. And so I think as our children go through these developmental milestones and shifts, it's important for us to reevaluate our parenting relationships. And when our children cross over into adulthood, whatever we agree that will be, 18 or 21 or when you graduate or whatever the boundaries and spaces are for that, is the opportunity to have real heart-to-heart conversations with them and say, hey, I've done like the mommy parenting piece of my job with you in terms of instilling all the values and all that kind of stuff, and now we need to talk about how we coexist in this space in such a way that there's still the love and the care and the concern, but where I'm requiring you to be a bit more independent. And then we put boundaries in place that support that independence, that don't leave them hanging if they were to fall, but that also hold them accountable to some things in terms of whether it's, you know, keeping the house clean or if there's some rent that needs to be paid or some chores or duties or something that allows us to have some boundaries in place where we're not feeling like we are now parenting adult children who may be pretty capable of doing a lot of the things that we're doing for them on their own.
Rochelle, thank you for sharing with us. Talia, are you prepared to ask your children, what kind of mom am I? I mean, would your husband have to hold you
already,
back?
No, or? My 7-year-old, it feels free to tell me, you know, what kind of mom I am.
What does she say?
Oh, it's a he.
I'm sorry, boys. Yeah. That's right.
So,
forgive me.
Yes. he told me that I was not a very nice, I'm not a very nice mom. And it all started because Bobby Brown's Tenderoni was playing. And I'm joking with him saying, hey, he wrote this song about me. If you listen to it, it's about me. And he says, well, you're not very nice. You don't stand out in the crowd. Maybe your dad was proud of you.
Oh, my.
He's like, but, and so I had to dig into, what do you mean by I'm not a nice mom? And he really does only remember the yelling, but and not the nice nurturing moments that I think I'm having. But I do think mommy burnout causes some of, you know, the nice not the not nice moments that they may experience with me.
What do you think is you, Talia? What do you think is the impact of your mommy burnout on the children beyond the Tenderoni song? but seriously, yeah, what do you think is, how does that impact them?
So for me, I have to be very aware and careful that I don't let mommy burnout cause some resentment because I'm tired. I haven't slept in a couple of days. Like, you don't want to go there where you have this resentment of, you know, like, what did I do? But if I'm being honest, there are some days I have said, what have I done? You know, like, I am tired. I have not slept, you know, more than maybe 12 hours this week, you know. So for me, it's making sure that I don't, you know, they don't get the worst of me all the time. But I really do feel like I have to be very aware of that, though, to make sure that, you know, they're not catching it.
Mm-hmm. What about the impact of mommy burnout on you? I mean, I know, Tiffany, that you have this, you know, this wonderful, talented son. But to that point, and I'm not talking about the guilt piece, but I'm just talking about the physical and emotional impact of burnout on him. Have you had a chance to connect with him on that level to sit down and talk about it?
At this point, all we do is talk because for the most part, you know, most of the time that's spent is just the two of us because, you know, all of the traveling, everything that we do. So what I would say is that our relationship has grown stronger. You know, most recently with everything that he has going on, because prior when I was working a full time job, it was a lot worse. It was a lot worse because, you know, I had flexibility at work, but my work was, I always brought my work home. And so in bringing my work home, I was not the nicest person. And I can admit that. And so for him now, even though the stress is higher with everything that we have going on, is a situation where he's like, you're so much nicer. I like you so much more. Mm-hmm. But you do need to take time for yourself. You do need to go, and I'm okay. You know, you can leave out the house. You can go get your hair done. You can go do these things. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'll say that our relationship and our bond is stronger now because he was a grandma's boy. Like, he, my mom is, you know, we live together. And so she's a big help and big support. But he was all her. And now it's kind of like my mom is my best friend. And so it's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Iris calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Iris. What's on your mind?
Hi. I didn't notice you were talking about mommy burnout. It's kind of spot on with me because I have a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old. So.
So what's going on?
Well, it's just that I work a full-time job. I did have, you know, I had a significant other, their parent, his father, whatever. And it's really stressful because it's, this is another topic, but, you know, he doesn't have a job. So technically I have 3 kids. But, you know, I have been working a full-time job and taking care of them. I've been literally doing everything, and I am exhausted. And this is spot on because, you know, I'm stressed from work and I'm stressed from taking care of them. And I do think they kind of get the feed, you know, they feel what I go through from work because I'm stressed at work. I'll come home and in a sense let it out on them. It's really hard to balance both. And it's hard for me to just step away.
Yeah.
It's very hard for me to do that.
Let's see what Erica has to suggest. 2-year-old, 3-year-old, and a partner who is unemployed. Your suggestion, Erica.
Mm-hmm. I think she acknowledges a big part of it is like this is this season, right? These children are 2 and 3, but by God's grace, they will get older and this season will pass in terms of the needs of 2-3-year-olds. Those things will change. But in terms of mothering, I think it's important to acknowledge that sometimes with our children, we get the opportunity to reparent ourselves and to give ourselves what we needed as we were being parented. And it's a tricky space and a dynamic to figure out, but I think it's also important to, while we're thinking about these children and what their needs are, to also consider our own. And so I don't know if there's a village of family or friends or neighbors or people who have been kind and who have joked about wanting to be with the kids or being willing to help out. I think a part of, you know, mothering is about using the village and the people that are around us. And maybe they're not blood-related people, and maybe we have to kind of work through what that would look like to have people who don't have the same bloodline care for our children. But to think about what that could look like, and maybe not for hours on end, but just an hour so I can take a nap. Can you watch the kids while I take a nap? So finding small moments of reprieve as moms. No, it won't be the full week vacation that we're longing for, but these little windows and pockets of time. I think also important to really consider how we are sleeping, how we're eating as moms. Are we taking care of our basic hygiene and those needs? Because as we find ourselves so focused on the needs of our children, and their needs are big and they are demanding, sometimes our own personal needs. Like I looked up as a mental health clinician, these clients, I hadn't been to my gynecological visit since 2018. And I was like, how in the world did that happen? But I realized I've been tending to my family. I've been tending to my business. I've been doing all these great things. And so even I had to have a reality check and think, wait a minute, I've got to remember to put myself on the list. And sometimes, many times, that's the space that moms have to pause and try to figure out, how can I get myself on the list?
Iris, thank you so much for sharing with us. Hang in there. I do want to talk a little bit more in these last few minutes about some solutions and also coming out on the other side. And I think this may very well be pertinent for Tiffany. Because your son is 17, if he continues to do well, and I have no doubt that he will continue to do well, it may be very likely that in a handful of years, 2 or 3, you may look up and call him and he will not be at home because he will be in college or he will be on tour or he will be doing something constructive and wonderful. So do you have a plan for when you look up and he is not home and you are an empty nester?
Yeah, I'll probably just lock him in the basement.
Well, and see, here's the thing. This is another show. That's another show.
Can you
let go? He will be singing Frozen. Let it go.
Exactly.
Let it go.
Exactly. No, in all honesty, I welcome it. You know, I want him to be able to go off and experience life. On the musical side, I plan on being very much a part of everything that goes on because knowing the industry the way that I do, they are vultures. And so I need to make sure that that circle that he has is very small and we are consistent with the people that we've been with from the beginning. But when it comes to everything else, like from 7 up until now, he's always wanted to go to Harvard. And so
for me, I've
instilled that in him. I want him to go off. I want him to experience life and to stay in this bubble in this DC area. No, it's a whole world out there. So I want you to go and experience it. My mother is the problem because she's the problem.
She seems like a wonderful
woman.
She's
the problem. She's gonna go. Like they've already got a plan about her getting an apartment in Boston. It's the craziest. But yeah, no. For me, I welcome it. At this point, it's just trying to find a new normal for me as he gets older.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what about you, Talia? Because coming out on the other side, I think, and Erica can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think noticing that there is a burnout issue is the first step to not being burnt out. So what is your plan for trying to come out on the other side of, you know, of the burnout, short of telling your your boss.
I have great bosses.
Yeah, can I get a minute?
Right, and they do. I am blessed to work for a company that does stress personal time and family time, putting family first. So for me, I have to figure out how do I juggle that. Like when I'm at work, I feel guilty for not being with the kids. When I'm with the kids, I'm like, what can I be doing to, you know, get to that next level? How can I keep moving up? And it's not just a personal thing for me, just my dreams. I need to know how am I going to take care of my boys as they get older. So for me, I hope to find the balance where I'm giving my best here, I'm giving my best there, but I don't think I can do it both at the same time all of the time. So I'm just getting to that point of realizing that you can have it all, but you're not going to have it all at the same time.
Erica, how can she relieve herself of some of these guilty feelings?
Because it's a lot of guilt.
Yeah, I can hear it.
Yeah, it's a lot. I think you just said, I think you're onto something with the notion of I can have it all, but I can't have it all at every place at every time, right? Yeah. So we're not going to fire on 100 every single time in every single area. So I think it's important, again, to keep track of the wins, to keep track of the wins with the boys, to keep track of the wins with the husband, to keep track of the wins in the professional spaces, and to just be mindful that I'm winning across the board. Maybe not every single day. Like I was talking to a woman the other week, and she's like, yeah, well, this week I'm winning as a wife. The kids, I kept them next week. And the week after that, I got work, right?
But this
idea,
true.
Maybe not for the whole week, but this idea that, you know, I'm going to give it all I've got. I'm going to do what Anita Baker says. I'm going to give the best that I've got and try to be as intentional and as present as possible. I was talking to a friend a few weeks ago, and she talked about the notion that joy lives in the now. And so often we're thinking about the future and what's next. And I think many times in terms of parenting, in terms of being a friend, in terms of being a partner, we are so focused and preoccupied with what's coming next that we're missing these moments now. And as you look at your 7-year-old and your 4-year-old, and as Tiffany looks at her 17-year-old, and the callers look at their own children, and I look at my now 5-year-old, each day they're changing, they're growing, they're evolving. And so as much as it is hard, it seems like in the moment to steal those 5 seconds to see them, to really look at them and to laugh at their little silly joke and watch them do this little silly dance and sing this little silly song, dialing into those moments help us to rid ourselves of the guilt, because we can remember the times that we spent with them. We can remember the jokes. We can remember the dance. We can remember the funny song and the silly thing we did with them before we had to rush off to work. And so I think it's about tuning in and trying really hard to be present in the moments that we do have. So when I am home, I try to check myself into home. I try to move my phone into another space of the house so that I can be present in the room. The ringer may be on because I may be expecting a call, but I'm not distracted by emails and other things that may not be important in this moment, such that my little person can see that I'm present, but also so I can be more present, because if my phone is there, I'm more likely to be scrolling and looking and checking. But if I distance myself from some of those things so I can stay present, then
Erica,
I have to be...
Erica, I hate to cut you off. You can talk, lady, but I got to go. But I want to thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us. Also, Talia Price and Tiffany Page, I really thank you all
for talking to us.
I know you are magnificent, magnificent mothers,
all of you. Thank you.
That is the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Friday, February 21st. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Millette Green, Bramante Bryant, producer Candace Atkins, and engineer Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night, and have a wonderful weekend.